Greetings in the Lord. Overcomers.ca. For the Lord our God is holy. Facets of the Glorified Body. Addendum 6. Scriptures. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Romans 8:19-23. 1 Corinthians 15:13-22 and 42-49. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. 2 Corinthians 5:1-4. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Job 19:25-27 and Job 14:7-15. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time, and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. End Scripture. Three visions. First vision. Note before the vision. The first vision is a continuation of the second vision listed in Part 5 Addendum. In case you want to go back to read the second vision in Part 5. The vision of the scrolls or oracles God found in the glorified bodies of the changed ones. Placed here is a vision from Part 5, which you can go ahead and read. Now on to the vision, this first vision in the Part 6 Addendum. The overcomers now in their spiritual bodies went forth bearing within them these scrolls and texts and oracles of the government of the Lord in the kingdom of God. They went forth unto the nations of the earth during the next age to disassemble their governments and kingdoms and monarchies and all places where the rule of man had now come to full conclusion. The act of the overcomers going forth with these scrolls and oracles signaled the end of man's dominion as to his politics and governments and laws and law enforcements and economies, as the law of the Lord would now replace all else. The main oracle was that the honor and glory of each nation would be purified and brought into the kingdom of the Lord, with the Lord being their replacement. His laws and ordinances and oracles would now replace the decision-making process of man's laws, which up until this time had ruled in the earth, even though the Lord ruled in the affairs of men. This rule was now ended. The free choice that man had was replaced with desire for the government of the Lord. The company of overcomers represented a multiplicity of this government, as each one in their person was complete in resurrection power, as was Jesus when he came forth from the tomb. These had the same authority and power as the risen Lord to execute the government of the Lord over all the nations of the earth. Free will was shattered by this powerful rod of iron, but desire for the Lord's oracle to keep their nations was much greater. The rulers of governments freely gave up their rule to the rulers of the kingdom of the Lord, even the overcomers who were now glorified in the midst of the earth. And vision. Second vision. The rod of iron. From Revelation 2:26 and 27. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. The action and act of the rule of the rod of iron was immediate. There was no time frame for the rod of iron to be enacted. The actions and results of such were immediate without recourse for the nations shattered thereby. I saw the overcomers go forth with a singular rod of iron in their unity. Any attempted action of any nation was immediately shattered and brought into the rule of the kingdom of the Lord. Nothing was done any further in the rule of man. All was subjected to and brought into the kingdom rule with the shattering of all that was contrary to that same rule by the same eternal throne of the Lord. This was not to cause hurt and harm to the nations, but rather to heal them. For the fruit and end result of the rule of man had brought the world to the brink of extinction. It was only the rule of the Lord in his kingdom that could rescue this creation from total destruction. The overcomer went forth not as ambassadors of that kingdom, but as they were one with the King of Kings himself. Their identity was so one with the risen Jesus that to see the overcomers with the rod of iron and to see Jesus with the rod of iron, both were the same in the eyesight of the nations of the earth. The rod of iron shattered to pieces anything that was in any sort of attempt outside of the rule of the kingdom of God. Nothing was left intact in the systems of man. All of the systems of man were utterly destroyed by the rod of iron in the hands of the overcomers. The breaking of the nations, the cause and effect of the rule of the kingdom of the Lord over the nations, all of it through the rod of iron was immediate. The only remaining factor left to the nations was desire for the kingdom of the Lord to rule in the earth, for Christ to rule from heaven over the lives of all men everywhere. Such was the power and the glory of the rule of the rod of iron. It was not a ruthless rule, but one which far surpassed and which was far better than all other rules and governments that man had before in previous dispensations and vision. Third vision. Beside the Ancient of Days stood the Lamb of God in his glorified, risen body. His body was of bone and flesh, skin and sinew, yet it was at the very same time a spiritual body, a body that was once earthly, made of the dust of the earth, but now through the process of death, it was raised to everlasting life to never see corruption. This was the body of Jesus, even in pure spirit form at the right hand of the Father. He did wear a white garment with a royal purple sash from his left shoulder down along to the right side of his body. Upon his head were many crowns, and his feet were as molten brass. The paved work under his feet was as molten brass. Holy was the sight of the risen Christ beside the Ancient of Days. So holy was this fire, so great the heat thereof, so mighty was his rule and power and authority over all creation. Jesus alone stood beside the Father, with his Father's name written upon his mind. So it was that I saw a flesh and bone body in a spiritual world in a spiritual form. Such is the will of the Ancient of Days, to consume the natural world into the spiritual world, to meld together both into one, as is the body of Jesus, both spirit and physical, meet together in him. End vision. End three visions. The Lord's purpose in creating Adam in the Garden of Eden was to have fellowship with him and to converse with him as a friend converses with a friend. God, at that time, desired that the communion between himself and Adam would be unbroken, a fellowship that was not to be outside of any area of communion and love which would not suffer any lack at all. Yet God also designed that Adam would fall, hence the great mystery of the ages. Why did God allow Adam to fall and to be found short of this fellowship which was in the original desire? All of creation was subjected by this fall to the curse of broken fellowship. Such a curse was not easily mended, not by Adam's life afterwards, nor by all the eons of time that have passed since. The giving of the law and ordinances, all to attempt to rectify this broken fellowship. It was God who made the rule of what Adam could and could not do in the garden. To keep Adam company, Eve was made out of one of Adam's ribs, so that they together could remain in this fellowship with God, in communion, in the cool of the day. But both fell away because of their lack, because of their failed attempt at keeping the garden to dress it. So then all creation came under the same curse of their fall for broken fellowship. The purpose of God was to make his natural creation and his spiritual creation into a melding of one creation, the natural taking on the spiritual, and the spiritual taking on the natural. That which was temporary taking on that which is eternal, so no temporary existence remained in the natural creation. God's purpose for that has never changed. It is still his purpose, and it is exactly what he is working towards, to meld together into one the natural and spiritual creations. When that happens in the future ages to come, all death will be banished. The fall will be non-existent, and the area of the mind and recognizing life in this present world will be replaced with the mind of the Father in the eternal world. That is the final outworking of the purpose of God. That is the great mystery, that God would so differentiate at the first the natural fallen creation from the spiritual eternal world, and that the melding together of both of these worlds would be done by an act of his Holy Spirit, a working that the Lord alone would do. Nothing in the natural world and nothing in the spiritual world will be able to see that nothing short of God himself did the melding together of both these opposing realms. The exciting thing about this is that God has chosen a people, a royal priesthood, who will be doing this work of melding. The overcomers are that people. Part of their work will be to meld into one the spiritual with the natural. Such will be the power of God, which will permeate all their being. So God allowed the fall so that overcomers could in time bring the fallen creation back into the spiritual creation, and the spiritual creation back into the natural, but healed, fallen creation. As it is at this time, the overcomers are finished their courses, a bold statement of faith, but it is truth. All that is needed for a yielded people has been accomplished. Jesus has seen the travail of his soul in the life of the overcomer, and he is satisfied. There is an end coming for us of the personal cross and of the trials of life. A great peace is to come to those whom God has deemed as his overcomers. Overcomers do not overcome just so they can be separate from evil in the world or in the systems of man or man's religion. Overcomers overcome so that they can conquer these systems and subject them to the kingdom of God. Full power and authority will be given to those in glorified bodies to bring all of creation into full liberty and eternal life in the kingdom of God, even in this natural creation. Theirs will be the right and honor to bring all that is distanced from God by the fall back into oneness with God and full fellowship, unbroken eternally. Not only the love of God displayed through them, but God's full government in which they will bear, so that this fellowship can become for God Himself a reality. God, who is holy, will make Himself holy with all His creation, not just part of it. The fellowship He once desired with Adam, He will have again when Adam himself is restored to this great deliverance. The overcomers overcome in the seven churches so they can consume the seven churches and bring them into God's eternal church. The candlestick, which has the person of the risen Jesus standing in the midst, will illuminate this darkness till the darkness is no more. Such will be the work of the overcomers in this age that is dawning. To the overcomers will the rule of the kingdom of God be given. These are the 144,000, the number of those who form the full-bodied government of God, a number of individuals that only God Himself knows, but who are His cabinet and power of throne and rule. With that rule of the kingdom will come a complete power and authority to destroy utterly all the systems of man that have been conceived and maintained under this fallen curse. The order of life, the rule of law, all of it will come into subjection to something even better, the rule of His kingdom. With a rod of iron, these overcomers shall rule and shall break to shivers, pieces, all of man's kingdoms and nations and governments and ruling authorities, all so they can come without any fault into the kingdom of His rule. It is not that God is angry with the rule of man, even if man's rule is an ungodly rule. It is just that His rule is so far above the rule of man that His rule will overtake and consume all that has ruled men's lives previous. It is a rule that will be accomplished by the mind of the Father, thinking in the glorified bodies of the overcomers, and the minds of the overcomers in unison, thinking thoughts that the Father thinks with them. Their minds and their rule will be a convincing rule with no haste, yet done in immediacy. No time frame between thoughts of governing rule shall they possess. It will be instant and eternal. Such will be the perfect rule of the overcomers in the earth, in His kingdom. Just as Jesus was a flesh and blood body living in the spiritual world, so shall it be for the overcomers, some raised from their graves, others alive and remaining. Their flesh and bone bodies will take on spiritual fullness, and the spiritual fullness will take on the physical body. In a glorified state as Jesus is now, so shall these be, bone, flesh, but spiritual and holy. Absent will be the mind of carnality, which is the minding of flesh and the life of the world. Absent will be the heart, distance from fellowship with God. Instead, a complete oneness with Christ will bring about the change in all this natural creation. This liberty will be for all creation, all nations. No one will be left out of it when the overcomers are glorified. Each will enjoy the peaceable fruits of the kingdom of God by the overcomer's new rule in the earth. The overcomer as an individual will be able to walk in the highest heaven, sit upon the throne with Christ, walk upon the earth, and walk in the midst of the nations, and walk with the spirits of the dead, all of this at the very same time. They will stand upon the earth before the nations and be seated with Christ upon the throne and preach liberty to the dead, all at the very same time. Such is the future work and call to those who will be glorified at His coming, those who are the government of God. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.